to turn to the 18th Psalm. Psalm 18. There are 50 verses in this Psalm, so we'll just want to look at the entire Psalm, but for time's sake, we'll just begin by reading the first two verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This is a Psalm of David. It is also recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 22 with a few slight variations. In 2 Samuel 22 in verse 1, it says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song." So, like all the Psalms, this is a song, and it is written by David. Notice the superscription, if your Bible has those. It's quite a lengthy one. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So we get the context of the psalm. David, of course, had been hunted by Saul, and though he had been anointed and appointed by God to be king, he was not recognized as such by the people. And some were persecuting him, some were slandering him, some were trying to kill him. But by the miraculous workings of God, he eventually is established as the king. And this is where this 18th Psalm would pick up. It is a song basically that declares that God is faithful. That's basically what David is saying in this psalm. If you were to just give a summary of the entire psalm, it is basically David saying God is faithful, or God has been faithful to me. We see that in the psalm, David basically sketches the tale of his life. He gives us some insight into his heart, gives us some insight concerning his affection toward God. It is a record of how God miraculously delivered David time and time again, how God miraculously gave David victory time and time again. So again, in this 18th Psalm, David is testifying basically, this is what God has done for me. And that ought to be our testimony everywhere we go. This is what God has done for me. We should never be ashamed. Never should we be hesitant to declare to others what God has done for us. He is also declaring in this psalm, this is what God is to me. This is what God is to me. Throughout the psalm, David takes no credit for any of his victories. We see throughout he just simply gives glory to God. The entire song is spoken in a tone of love. We see that in the very first verse, "I will love thee, O Lord." As you read through, you see it's spoken in a tone of awe, a tone of reverence toward God. There's much confidence in God throughout the psalm. We see there's a spirit of thanksgiving. There's a spirit of joy and praise toward God. It is a psalm that expresses implicit confidence in the Lord. So throughout the psalm, David paints a picture of his life. Paints a picture of his life with God. He uses the personal pronoun, if I counted correctly. He uses the personal pronoun me 41 times. He uses my 34 times. He uses I 19 times. That is a total of 94 references to self. He uses the word Lord 19 times. He uses the word God 11 times. One time he uses the word highest, referring to God. He uses the pronouns he 23 times, referring to God. Him 6 times. His 18 times. Thou 15 times. Thee 3 times. Well over 100 references to the Lord. So from those two things, how he makes reference to himself, how he makes reference to God, we see it as a psalm about God. It is a psalm about self. God and self. And throughout the psalm, there is a connection between these two, between God and self. Again, David is describing a life with God. That ought to be our life. A life with God. That's how we ought to desire to live our life. A life with God. There is no better life upon earth than a life lived with God. Now, this psalm is filled with instruction for you and I. It's filled with comfort, encouragement. But we want to speak this evening on facing life with confidence in God. And we want to view this psalm as David looking at his life, because that's basically what David is doing here. He's looking at his life. He's looking how God has brought him to, again, be recognized as king, how God has delivered him and brought him to this moment. First of all, he reviews his trials and difficulties. All through the psalm, we see there's reference to his trials and through his difficulties. He mentions personal enemies. He uses the very word enemies in verse 3, in verse 17, in verse 37, in verse 40, and verse 48. He uses that word enemies. He describes the enemy in verse 17, as strong. He says, he delivered me from my strong enemy. He also refers to those who hated him, there in verse 17, and from them which hated me. And then giving further description, he says, for they were too strong for me. And he says in verse 4, he mentions being compassed or surrounded with the sorrows of death and the floods of ungodly, the torrents of ungodly men. So we have enemies, we have those who hated him. We see that there are the floods of the ungodly all around him. In verse 5, he speaks of the sorrows of hell, and he speaks of the snares or the cords of death in verse 5. These are all things that David is personally experiencing in his life. These are things that were very real in the life of David. In verse 6, notice, in my distress. Again, there was distress, and it was personal in my distress. In verse 16, he mentions many waters. Many waters. It's referring to that which was threatening, that which was threatening to wash him away and drown him. In verse 18, notice he says they. That is, those who hated him. It says, they prevented me. That is, they hindered me. And then he goes on and he mentions the day of my calamity. The day of my calamity, in verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. They were a hindrance to me in the day of my calamity. So now we have calamity. In verse 28, notice the last two words, my darkness. My darkness. In verse 29, he mentions a troop, and he mentions a wall. Those speak of obstacles that were in David's way. He says, I ran through a troop, and he was able to leap over a wall. So there were many obstacles in David's life. In verse 34, he mentions war. In verse 36, he mentions the danger of slipping. He says that by God's blessing, that his feet did not slip. In other words, there was the danger of him slipping. There was the danger of him falling. In verse 39, he mentions the battle. And he mentions those who rose up against me. He also mentions those in verse 48, those who rise up against me. In verse 40, again, he refers to those, them that hate me. In verse 43, he speaks of the strivings of the people. And he mentions also the heathen. And in verse 49, again, he mentions the heathen. And in verse 48, he mentions violent men. So looking over all of that, we see that David had enemies. David had sorrows. David felt death. David was surrounded and threatened by ungodliness. David felt the powers of hell. He experienced the snares of his enemies. He experienced distress. He experienced threats. There were hindrances in his life. There was times of calamity. There was darkness, personal darkness. Again, he said, my darkness. There were obstacles, there were wars, there were dangers, there were oppositions. Again, at least three times he referred to those who hated him, so there was hatred. He refers to the heathen. He refers to violence. So David's life included all of these things. And he faced all of these things. These things were very real in the life of David. And as he looks at his life, he sees all of these things. But that's not the only thing he sees. If you and I were to look over our lives, we would see these same things. We may not have experienced them to the same degree as David. And we certainly have not all experienced them to the same degree. But we have all experienced these things. And if all you dwell upon are those things, you will live a life of defeat. You will live a life of misery. But that's not all that David dwelt in. It wasn't that he failed to see those things. It wasn't that he was ignorant of their existence. He knew those things. He knew them personally. But his life, he lived his life in spite of those things. We see, secondly, he refused God's miraculous hand in his life. All through the psalm, David recalls and gives testimony of how God worked miracles, how God worked wonders in his life. And that is a healthy spiritual exercise to recall the miracles that God has worked in our lives. And we all have them. We know that because we're here. It took miracles to get us here. So we all have miracles. It's just a good exercise to recall those miracles and to recall our experiences of God. Notice in verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." And notice also, "and cried unto my God." He says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." But then notice, in his distress, he recognized the mercy of God. He heard my voice. That's mercy. That's grace. Amen. David, in his distress, cried upon God. He's not focusing here upon the distress. What he's focusing upon is, he heard my voice. He's focusing upon the mercy of the Lord. And then notice also he says, "And my cry came before him, even into his ears." Again, that's mercy. That God would hear us, that God would pay attention to us, is mercy. But then notice verse 7. Then, so there's an order here. He cried unto God. Then, and he goes on to mention from verse 7 through verses 15 that God did what only God can do. He recalls how God moved at that time and how God revealed himself. Again, it's good to recall those things. He goes on throughout the psalm. And he recognizes over and over what God has done in his life. Life can be very disappointing. Depends what you're looking at. Life can be discouraging. Again, it depends what you're looking at. But if we would all just go back and just concentrate for a while on what God has done in our life. That's encouraging. In verse 16, just note, we'll go through several of these verses, just notice what God did. And notice he gives all the credit to God. He, that's God, sent from above. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. The waters, again, speak of that which is threatening. He drew me. Verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy. In verse 19. He brought me forth also unto a large place. How often God has brought us forth. He goes on again. He says, he delivered me. And then he goes, and why? Because he delighted in me. That's mercy. That's grace. He says in verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He says in verse 20 also, he recompensed me. Verse 24, he says the same thing. The Lord recompensed me. Verse 29, for by thee, now he's speaking to God. Before this, he was speaking of God. Now, in verse 29, he's speaking to God. For by thee, by God's strength, by God's enablement, I have run through a troop. And then he goes on and says, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. He's saying that God has enabled me to get through the obstacles. When there was no way, God gave me the strength to get through. And that's true of all of us. In verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 33, it says, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. You've seen the goats that stand on a mountain. It's amazing. And that's what he's talking about here. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, enables me to stand where no one could stand. And that's what God does. When there's something where nobody can stand, God enables us to be able to stand. Verse 34, He teacheth my hands to war. He teaches me. Verse 35, Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation. God's deliverances. Again, he's talking to God in verse 35. And Thy right hand hath holden me up. How many times David would have fallen, but God's hand held him up and he was enabled once again to stand. And how many times we would have fallen, but somehow we were able to stand. How was that? God held us up. God can hold us up in many ways. He can send a brother or sister in our way to just speak an encouraging word, but that's still God holding us up. He has many ways of doing this. And he says, "In thy gentleness hath made me great." David was far from perfect, as we know. But God was gentle with David, and his gentleness made him great. And then in verse 36, he says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps." That's talking about liberty. Even though he was fleeing from Saul and living the life of a fugitive, there was liberty. God enlarged his steps. In verse 39, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." That's victory. And again, he's giving God all the glory. He says, "Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies." Again, speaking of victory, he was able to defeat those who could not be defeated by David alone. But God gave him the ability to do so. Thou, verse 43 says, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen." Again, David is now recognized as king, and he's just reviewing his life, and he's basically saying, looking at his life and seeing how he got there, how he got to where he was. And here we are tonight, sitting in the house of God. And most here have been doing this for years and years and years, most of your lives. And we need to stop and just think how we got here. It's all by the goodness, the faithfulness of God. He says in verse 47, "It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me." And how often we need to say, "It is God. It is God." How were you able to stand? It is God. How were you able to endure? How were you able to get through? It is God. It is God. Verse 48, "He delivereth me from mine enemies." Also he says, "Yea, thou liftest me above those that rise up against me." God enables us to live above this world. Out there in the world, there is chaos everywhere. Lives are a mess. And God in His grace, God in His goodness has lifted us up above those things. He goes on and he says, "Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Verse 50, he says, "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore." So he looks at his life and he says, it's all due to God. It's all due to the Lord. And this review caused him to praise the Lord. Verse 30 and verse 31, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our rock?" He's praising God. Verse 46, he does the same thing. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." So he realizes that God has done wondrous things in his life. You think of just a few of the times that you would have destroyed your life. You would have ruined your testimony. Just could be a thought that goes through your mind, "I ought to do such and such." And God doesn't allow it. God's good to us. God's good to each one of us. He also, throughout the psalm, realizes that he has a personal relationship with God. In verses 2, verse 21, verse 28, and verse 29, David uses the phrase, "My God, my God." Not just God, but my God. Implying that he knows him. Implying that he is relevant in his life. My God. He then, after he uses that phrase, "my God," he proceeds to use metaphors to indicate the strong assurance that he had in the Lord, to indicate the realization of God's sufficiency to meet every one of his needs, to meet every emergency that he had in his life. Now notice, he refers to the Lord in verse 1. He says, "O Lord, my strength, my strength." We all have to draw strength from somewhere. There is no better place. "My Lord," or "O Lord, my strength." God is our power. He is our might. Strength speaks of resilience. Strength speaks of durability. Strength speaks of sturdiness. O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my sturdiness. Again, think of all the trials that David is experiencing or has experienced. And yet, God was the one that enabled him to be steadfast, to be sturdy. Notice also in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock." He says it again in verse 46. "The Lord is my rock." That refers to God as his immovable strength. He is saying, "God is my immovable strength." He is not only my strength, he is my immovable strength. He is my immovable support. The Lord is my rock. He is the one that I can build my hopes upon. He is a rock. You can build upon God. Don't build upon the sand. It will not last. Build our lives upon the rock, the Lord. He is the one, the rock. He's a great rock in a weary land. That is, it is a rock so large that it provides shade for you and I. The Lord is my rock. He goes on in verse 2, and he says, the Lord is my fortress. That is, he is my shelter from all of those who would attack me. He is my shelter. He is my protection. He is my security. He is my supply. David is realizing that God is everything. But again, this is all personal. He goes on to say, he is my deliverer. That is, he is the one who rescues me. He has come to my rescue time and time and time again. And that's true of all of us. God comes to our rescue. He goes on and he says that he is my buckler. That is, he is my shield to ward off every attack. It doesn't matter where the attack is coming from. It doesn't matter how strong the attack is. The Lord is omnipresent, and the Lord is stronger than the attack. And David says, he is my buckler. He is my shield. Now, a shield is something that stands between us and the enemy. And that is God. He's what stands between us and Satan. He's what stands between us and God. You couldn't ask for more than a God who stands between. He stands between us and our sins and God. He's the mediator. Also in verse 2, he says he's the horn of my salvation. Now, David uses that phrase several times in the Psalms, the horn of my salvation. Salvation, of course, referring to deliverance. So the question is, what does the horn refer to? Is it a musical instrument? I don't think so. I think he's referring to the horn of an animal, which is gives that animal the ability to push down, foes and to triumph over them. And God is the horn of my salvation. He's the horn of my deliverance. That is, it's God that gives us the ability to push down that which threatens us. Again, it's just another way of saying that it's God who gives us our victory. In verse 2, he says that God is his high tower. My high tower. That is, a tower is a stronghold. The fact that it's high speaks of the fact that it's above, beyond the reach of all his foes. Hide yourself in God, and there you are beyond the reach of all enemies. But not only that, in that high tower, you can look down upon your enemies without any sense of alarm, because you know, I'm safe. I'm safe in the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is referring to in Psalm 91. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. In verse 18, he refers to the Lord as my stay. Notice the last phrase there of verse 18. But the Lord was my stay. He says in the first part of that verse, they prevented me, they hindered me in the day of my calamity. So there's two things going on here. There was calamity, and there was a hindrance. And he says, but the Lord was my stay. He was my support. He was my upholder. So like David, our souls are menaced on every side and on every hand. There are the enemies of God. There's the world, there's our flesh, there's Satan. And they all combine against us. And they are too much for our strength And then in addition to that, you have all sorts of dangers, all sorts of pitfalls. But we have a God. And that changes everything. We have a God who is our rock, who is our fortress, who is our deliverer, who is our strength, our buckler, the horn of our salvation, and our high tower, and our stay. And because of who God is, and for no other reason, simply because of who God is, we can face life with confidence in the Lord. We don't have to live defeated lives, nor should we. We can face 2016 or the next year or the next year with confidence. No matter how much chaos is all around us, we can face it with confidence in the Lord. And then lastly, I want to notice the resolve of the psalmist. We've already seen that David has this implicit confidence in the person of God. And this leads him to resolve to do some things. He says in verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord." That ought to be our resolve. I will love the Lord. No matter what is going on, no matter what comes into our lives that needs to be our resolve, I will live life in love with God. There is no better way to live than to live life in love with the Lord. David, with implicit confidence in the person of God, also resolves to trust Him. Notice verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." I will love Him. I will trust Him. I will live my life in love with Him. And I will live my life with complete and unconditional reliance upon Him. That is the resolve of David. That is his determination. And that needs to be ours as well. Verse 3, he says, "I will call upon the Lord." Aren't you glad that you can always call upon God? We don't always do it, but we can. "I will call upon the Lord." In other words, there is a God. Live your life seeking Him. Live your life calling upon Him. So this is David resolves to do these things. I will love the Lord. I'll trust the Lord. I'll call upon the Lord. Notice verse 49. "Therefore, because of who God is, because of what God does, will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord." And notice where he'll do it: among the heathen. He is resolved to thank God. And he says, "I will do that even in the presence of the heathen. Those who hate me. Those who seek to destroy." He said, "I will thank the Lord." He also adds something else he'll do. And again, it's among the heathen. "And sing praises unto thy name." I will thank the Lord among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto his name. Do not be ashamed to thank God, even in the presence of God's enemies. Do not be ashamed to praise God, even in the presence of His enemies. I realize today that the world says that you can't do that, but God says you can. And you can, and we ought to. Don't be afraid to thank God. Don't be afraid to mention God. in the presence of the heathen. In verse 3, in closing, he declared that he is worthy to be praised. And God is worthy. God is worthy for you and I to love Him. He's worthy for you and I to trust Him. He's worthy for you and I to call upon Him. He's worthy to be thanked. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's always worthy. Always. There's never a time when God is not worthy. So with the resolve of David, what he's saying is, I'm going to live my life aware of God. That needs to be our resolve also. We live in a world that is oblivious to God, oblivious to God's creation, oblivious to God's workings all around them. They do not see it at all. We as God's people need to always be aware of God. Always aware of His voice. Always aware of His hand. Always aware of His touch. Always aware of God. And again, there's no better way to live than living in the awareness of God. For 18 years, I lived in being oblivious to God. I don't want to ever live that life again. Because I have experienced what it's like to live in awareness of God. And it's so much better than living oblivious to God. Yes, we might have trials. We might have, as far as man is concerned, terrible things happen in our lives. But it's much better, to live in the awareness of God in those times than oblivious to God. It's so sad when someone is experiencing something horrible and they have no awareness of God whatsoever. None. Total ignorance of the Lord. So he's viewing his life in the light of God's faithfulness to him. And when we view our life in light of God's faithfulness to us, that gives us motivation to live for Him. We are not always faithful. We fall. We fail. We fail every day. But God is always faithful. God has always been faithful to us. And we are testimony. Each one of us are testimony of God's faithfulness. We are proof that God is faithful to His people. So again, live life, face life with confidence in the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse